It's 12 minutes past seven when a phone rings. Tracy walks in and answers it.
Hello, Governor. Really? Is he on now?
There are people who are, frankly, stunned by your seemingly meteoric rise in the Senate less than 3 months and already closely allied with the president on what many people are calling unprecedented access to the average American's most private details.
Steve, I'm just a humble junior senator from New York, but as chairman of the Senate Commission on Homeland Security, it's my duty to protect and serve the people of America.
I can assure you, Governor, I don't know any more about this than you do. Trust me, that's ancient history. I haven't spoken to him in close to 2 months. Now, if you don't mind, I do have to get some sleep.
The rumors in Washington are of frequent private meetings at the White House, and the question on everyone's mind is, what are you discussing?
Well, again, these are matters of national security. We're protecting the American people from a very serious threat.
Are we talking about terrorism?
Let me assure you, the threat is real. We are not out to alarm the American public, but it's important that we take precautionary measures.
Having changed out of her cocktail dress, she notices an open window.
Senator, I don't mean to belabor this, of course, but the questions remain. Why you? Why now?
Well, I'd love to go into specifics with you, Steve, but these are highly classified discussions.
There are those that fear that what you're really talking about is taking away civil liberties.
She edges towards the window, closes, then locks it.
Anyone who knows my record and my career will tell you I've devoted my life to protecting people. As a district attorney in New York, I was tough on crime.
She turns round to see a balaclavaed man. She grabs him, and he starts to freeze, but the ice quickly defrosts. She runs, but is quickly restrained by several more armed men.
You want me to beg?
Now I'm continuing that passion for the protection of an entire nation.
Well, screw you.
Is this about your religious calling?
I don't beg for anyone.
Another man, his face also hidden, strides towards her.
After your assassination attempt, you made claims that God has a mission for you.
What do you want?
He shoots her with a dart, and she collapses.
Yes, I stand by those comments now more than ever.
Cover her hands.
The man reveals himself to be middle-aged, with craggy features.
I'm a God-fearing man. I just want what's best for our country.
Tell Petrelli, we got the first one.
Heroes, created by Tim Kring. Chapter 1, A Clear and Present Danger. Ando and Hiro are in Tokyo, Japan. Hiro opens a pair of large metal doors.
Hiya.
Open your eyes. Used to be a firehouse. I pulled some strings, bought it from the city. Now it's our lair.
Lair? We've been over this, Hiro.
You're going to look very badass in the rest of your costume.
It's a cat suit with a red flash on it.
See? Perfect.
Is this spandex? I wouldn't be caught dead in this thing.
A superhero must hide his true identity.
I know what this is about, Hiro.
You do?
You have no powers anymore, so you want to live through me.
No.
But my power is worthless.
Ando's hand crackles red.
You're a supercharger.
For other people's power.
Children will speak of your crime-fighting skills for generations.
Right after they stop laughing at the way I'm dressed.
Ando, it's your destiny to become a superhero.
Forget it, I'm not interested.
We'll see if you feel that way after you see the Ando cycle.
There's an Ando cycle?
What? Bike-chan?
It's a motorcycle.
Not just any motorcycle. Go ahead. I've embedded the latest two-way communication, all from right here at base camp. You just enter the password.
Let me guess. I don't get to know the password.
No.
Not even a clue?
It's the name of someone very important to me. Once I've entered the password, I can track your location anywhere on the planet with your GPS implant.
What GPS implant?
Hiro injects Ando in the arm.
I can't believe you did that to me.
Don't worry. I did the same thing to myself. Only hurts for an hour or so.
You're insane. I've had it with you. Get yourself another superhero.
Ando drives off on the Ando cycle.
Ando!
Breathe it.
Peter's dressed in a paramedic's uniform and attending to a car accident victim.
Peter, it's over.
No, I can save him.
It's no use. He's dead. Hey.
Damn it. Could have saved him.
No, you couldn't. He bled out in the car.
Should have got to him faster.
He was pinned in there.
So I should have been stronger.
You can't save everyone.
In New York City, Claire has a pile of college brochures on a table in front of her. Angela comes over.
Well, any favorites yet?
Yeah. I mean, Hamilton, Smith, Georgetown, they're all the best schools in the country.
Getting your GED was the best thing you could have done. An elite education is something most people only dream about. Claire, you're an exceptional young woman, and you deserve an exceptional education.
If you say so.
Are you okay?
Look, I appreciate this. You putting me up and offering to get me into school, but I don't think I can do this.
Your father and I have discussed this at length.
Which one?
Both of them. And we all felt that going to college was the best chance that you would have in a normal life.
Everyone keeps saying that, but none of us have a chance at a normal life when he's still out there.
When who's still out there?
Siler.
Claire, Siler is dead. We stood there together and watched Primatech burn to the ground. They found dental remains.
I know he's out there. I can feel it in my gut. He's killing again, and my father is trying to hide it from me. I found an article in his desk about a man who went missing in Memphis. They searched his house and found his entire upstairs filled with salt water.
Oh, I'm sure there's some explanation.
My dad keeps going away for days at a time, going on business trips. It's happening again, and I should be out there helping to stop it.
Claire, you have got to believe me. It's over. All of it. Primatech, the company, Pinehurst, all of it. And we all have to accept that.
No. You're just trying to put me on the bench. He's out there. And if I'm the only one who sees that, then fine. I'll go find him myself.
Claire gets up and walks out. In Baltimore, Maryland, Siler, alive and well, walks into a small shop filled with clocks.
A flame in your heart.
He goes over to a table where watch parts and intricate tools are laid out. As he looks at one of the watches, a grey-haired man points a shotgun at him.
You move and I shoot. Damn thief. Think you can come into my shop without me hearing you?
Martin? Martin Gray?
Do I know you?
Did you live at 423 Canmore Street in Queens 27 years ago? It was snowing. Middle of February, you went out for a pack of cigarettes at 10 o'clock and never came back. Or so the story goes. Kind of cliche, don't you think?
Who are you?
I'm your son. And have some questions for you.
Matt's eating when Daphne super speeds into the apartment.
Oh, hey, I was just...
Working?
Yeah, I got done with all my morning deliveries, so I thought I'd just come home.
At 10:30.
Are you spying on me?
Maybe.
Look, I know I said I wouldn't use my speed, but you got any idea how long it takes to get across Midtown on a bike?
Yes, that's sort of the idea.
But I'm all done for the day. We could go to the zoo or something.
Some of us still have to put in a full day. You know, I could use my ability to work my way clear to the top of the police force, but do I?
No, because you're a bodyguard who makes 12 bucks an hour.
At least it's honest work.
When you should be opening your own private detective agency like you want. I told you, I can get you the cash.
I'm not going to use stolen money to open up a business, Daphne. What's wrong with trying to live like normal people?
It's boring, for one thing.
Well, I will take boring any day over this bizarro world that I've been in ever since this whole thing got started. Come on. We talked about putting it all behind us and just getting everything back to normal. Just... normal.
Usutu appears in front of him.
Okay. Fine, you win. Normal it is.
She kisses him on the cheek. Claire comes down the stairs.
Yes, I know that. She has her own ideas, and now she's circling the building on your whole operation. She found an article about a guy in Memphis that your team picked up. And she thinks it's Sam. You have it. Well, then I'm sure it's all just her imagination.
What's your point?
No, well, the point is she's suspicious, and I can't control her.
That's too bad, Mom, because I was counting on you distracting her. If she digs, she's going to start finding things, and today is crucial. We have to keep her away from Peter and Parkman when we take them down. Mom, do you hear me? I want Claire as far away from all of this as possible. Mom.
Angela has found Claire listening in, but doesn't stop her leaving.
I think we have a bigger problem now.
Martin puts down his shotgun.
I'm a very different person now. It was a long time ago.
Maybe for you.
You said you had questions? Well, ask them.
How does a boy without a father grow up to be a man? How does he learn to make the hard decisions he's going to have to make in life, the ones only a man can teach?
You want an apology, is that it? You want to hear, I'm sorry for walking out on you and your mother?
I just want the truth.
What about? That your mother was a sick, infantile woman? Or that I made a mistake ever to have a child with her?
Let's start there, because I'm sure as hell not the son of a man who repairs watches and the woman who collected snow globes. So who am I? Tell me.
You were given to me.
By whom?
A man who needed money. Your mother wanted a baby and couldn't have one. I wanted out of a loveless marriage and was too much of a coward. Seemed like the right answer at the time.
Who was he?
My brother.
Is he still alive?
Martin writes down an address and hands it over.
You're telling the truth.
Now please leave.
Martin gets back to work. Silas stands up, wearing a stern expression on his face. But after a moment, he goes. With Sila gone, Martin removes his glasses and rubs his hand anxiously across his mouth. Peter watches. as the dead man's wheeled into a coroner's van.
So you planning on seeing him?
See who?
Your brother. He's in town. Saw him on TV this morning.
I didn't see that. I haven't seen him in months. Not really talking at the moment.
Huh. Maybe you won't mind me being honest. Scares the hell out of me.
Why's that?
My family's from Iran. The things he's talking about protecting the country from dangerous people. It's code. It's not very subtle either. He's talking about people like me were different, so we're scary. But you wouldn't know anything about that.
Believe me, I know more than you think. Hello, Claire?
Peter, thank God.
Hey, where are you?
I'm in New York. We have to stop them.
Stop who?
Your mom, Nathan, they're planning something bad. I thought it was Siler, but it's them.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I think they're talking about rounding up people with abilities. They already started taking them. This guy in Memphis, he disappeared.
Look, wait a minute. Slow down.
They were talking on the phone. Your mom, your brother. They were talking about keeping me out of the way so I wouldn't find out. They're going after Matt Parkman today. We have to stop them.
Okay, look, just
take a deep breath, all right?
I have to warn Matt.
I'll go talk to my mom. When I know something, I'll give you a call, okay?
Peter hails a taxi and climbs in.
Just going a few blocks. 87th and Madison, please.
Hello, Peter.
Mohinder, this is a coincidence. Last time I saw you...
I know. It's been a long time. Keeping out of trouble?
Trying to. Although, you ever get the feeling like you're meant to do something extraordinary?
I used to. Turns out I was mistaken.
See anyone?
I try not to. Everybody's under the radar. All except your brother, of course.
Well, you know Nathan.
Seems like every time I pick up a newspaper or turn on the TV, there he is. Right out in the open. He's not wrong, you know. These powers, uncontrolled, unrestricted. I see only danger in that.
Do you?
I was living proof of it.
Okay, so what happens when the government wants to step in?
That's a necessary risk I'm willing to accept.
Segregation. Internment camps. People hiding underground.
We'll agree to disagree.
How much do I owe you?
It's okay. It's on me.
Thank you. Take care of yourself, Mohinder.
You too, Peter.
Peter climbs out and joins the throng of people on the pavement. Someone else climbs into Mohinder's cab.
Where to, my friend?
Just drive.
They pull a gun on him.
It's your dime.
It's the hunter. Mohinder drives the taxi to a roof of a multi-story car park, where a 4x4 and several armed men are waiting. The men, carrying large rifles, slowly approach the taxi.
Who are you? And what do you want?
I want you to get in the van.
The hunter and Mohinder get out of the cab, but Mohinder holds on to the cab door.
You're surrounded.
He smacks the hunter with the door, then shields himself against bullet fire with it. Mohinder runs, whilst the armed men check on the hunter. A car pulls up in front of Mohinder. Mr. Bennett's driving.
Get in. You want to live? Get in.
He hesitates for a moment before climbing in.
What the hell is going on? Those guys are trying to kidnap me.
Do you know who they are?
No.
Has anybody contacted you about people with abilities being attacked or abducted?
No.
Have you had any contact with Claire?
No.
Or Parkman?
No.
What did Peter Petrelli tell you today?
How did you know? Where did you come from?
The armed team have blocked the entrance.
What are you doing?
Sorry, Mohinder.
Mr. Bennett shocks Mohinder, who staggers out of the car and collapses. Mr. Bennett pulls off his seatbelt, climbs out, and joins the others as they gather around Mohinder. Peter arrives at his mother's house.
Mom? Mom, you home?
She's not here. It's been a long time, Peach. Sorry, I've been out of touch. I've been kind of busy.
Yeah. What with all the press you've been doing lately, right?
You know, the media. They like new and shiny.
Yeah, you got the whole country thinking you're talking about terrorists, but we both know who you're really talking about.
What can I say, Pete? Last time I tried to out us, I got shot. I'm nothing if not a quick study.
Just gonna round us all up? Get rid of us? Let me guess, you got our mother involved in this, too.
Mom's got nothing to do with this, Pete. It's not Dad's plans. It's all me. You know how I feel about this. We've been over it. I'm doing what's necessary.
No. What you're doing is turning your back on your own kind. It's one thing to disown me, Nathan, but this, you're a self-loathing hypocrite.
And you wonder why I haven't returned your calls? Look, I said some things that were pretty harsh. I admit it. Got a little emotional. But I've had time to calm down, and I'd like to talk to you about some ideas. I'd like your input, your advice.
Advice? What advice could I possibly give you besides kiss my ass, Nathan?
I'm just trying to extend an olive branch here, that's all. How about dinner? Tonight. Just dinner. I'll text you when and where. Just out of curiosity, what can you do these days?
Do?
Your abilities.
What, are you a cop? That's the last thing you saw me do, Nathan.
He flew.
Matt's pouring himself a glass of water when he notices his tortoise crawling across the floor.
Hey, how the hell did you get out of your tank?
You're talking to a turtle again.
You again? How'd you get into my apartment? What are you doing here?
I came to give you a message.
It's kind of a long trip for a message, don't you think?
I'm not really here, Pac-Man. It's an illusion, like life. It's best not to make this any more difficult than it has to be. There are things you'll come to know along the way in this journey.
No. I've taken way too many journeys already.
I know it's difficult to understand, but I went through the same thing when it happened to me.
When what happened to you?
The calling to be a prophet. You've been chosen.
No, I didn't ask to be chosen for anything. All I want to do is live a normal life.
But you're not normal, Pac-Man. And you've known that for a while. The world needs you to tell them the future.
The future? How the hell am I going to do that?
You'll paint it.
I can't even draw.
You'll learn.
Matt picks up a pen.
Fine, so what am I supposed to...
His eyes go a milky white, and he suddenly begins to sketch confidently. Hero's looking at a computer screen.
Mitsuketaze.
Ah, there you are, Ando.
Ando,
this is Hero. Come in. I know you're there. Just talk to me. All right, I'm sorry I shot you in the arm, but you'll thank me, I promise.
No, I won't.
Aha, I knew it would work. Where are you?
I'm fighting crime just like you wanted.
You moved. I'm looking at you in the Ando cycle right now. You're not fighting crime. You're at...
Hero looks disappointed.
A strip club. You should be using your powers for good, not to pick up girls.
The Ando cycle is a chick magnet.
You have a destiny, just as I did. A sacred duty to use your powers to do great things in the world. To fight injustice, wherever you find... Hey, what a... No, don't!
Hiro.
Hiro's dragged off by the hunter's men.
Hiro, are you okay? What's going on?
Ando climbs onto the Ando cycle and speeds off down the street. Matt's still sketching when there's a knock at the door. As his eyes clear, he looks down at a sketch of him and Claire. He reaches for a gun in the desk drawer and cocks it before opening the door. It's Claire.
Thank God you're okay.
Claire, what are you doing?
Did they come?
Did who come?
I don't know, but you're in danger. I heard Angela and Nathan talking about sending someone to take you down.
Take me down?
I came to warn you. It's happening again. Siler, the company, they are planning something.
I don't know anything about that, but something weird is happening to me.
Weird like what?
I made these drawings. Except the thing is, I don't draw. Or at least I couldn't until now.
What does this have to do with anything?
I don't know. These are supposed to come true, I think, but they don't make any sense to me.
Is that supposed to be us?
You're right. That's us right now.
What is that on your neck?
Oh!
Plans. It's just some things I need to talk to you about that can't wait.
Okay.
I can only imagine how you feel about me after disowning you the way I did. It was selfish, arrogant, obsessive.
What was your better qualities, Nathan?
I know it hasn't been easy, losing me as a brother and a friend, but you need to know what I'm doing is hugely important for this country, for the world. Give you the chance to understand that before you make a decision. It may change your life forever.
I'm not making any decisions. Okay, I'm just trying to live my life as normally as I can.
That's just it, Pete. You're not normal. Pete, please. Tell me you understand that so I can make arrangements and provide you with the protection that you need. Tell me you understand.
Why are you asking me this? What is it that you're looking for me to say?
I'm looking for you to tell me you're with me, and then I'll leave.
I can't do that. No, I won't do that. Look, I don't know what you're up to, but if it is what I think it is, I'm gonna fight you with every breath that I have, I swear to God.
Okay. Hey, you give your big brother a hug.
Of course.
Nathan hugs Peter tightly, but when he steps back, someone plunges a pneumatic injection device into Peter's shoulder.
Sorry, Pete. Don't hurt him.
Peter's attacker was Mr. Bennett, and Nathan leaves him gazing down at his brother's body. Siler arrives at a house bearing the sign Samson Gray, taxidermist. He lets himself into the gloomily lit and dusty hallway to find an array of stuffed animals.
Hello? Anybody home?
He walks slowly through the dreary house.
Mr. Gray?
His attention is drawn to the framed photograph of a little boy wearing glasses and sitting on a trike. Stuffed snakes and squirrels adorn the mantelpiece, and on a nearby table is a large glass snow globe. Siler lifts it and turns it over in his hand. He finds a half-smoked cigarette in an ashtray and stubs it out. A dart hits him in the back, and as he turns, he finds himself surrounded by the hunter's men. More darts hit him, and he's lassoed around the neck and wrists by metallic rope. He focuses suddenly, and the darts fly out of him. Using his powers, he floors the armed men, throwing them against the wall. He fires shafts of lightning blue light at the men, then turns his attention to one of them. Using his power, he drags the man along the floor, then lifts him until he's hovering a few inches above the carpet.
Who are you?
I said, who are you?
Simmons! Agent Daniel Simmons!
All right, Agent Simmons, where's the man that lives in this house? Where's Mr. Gray?
I don't know.
Then we'll ask another question. I walked into a trap. Who sent you? A challenge. Fine. I like a challenge.
Siler lifts a finger. At the lair, Ando's trying to think of Hero's password. He mutters, "Someone important to me."
Kaito?
Kaito doesn't work.
Kensei?
Kensei doesn't work either. Then Ando has an idea, which makes a slight smile break across his lips. His own name worked, and now the satellite map appears on the screen. Ando leans in to find a flashing circle on the map, next to the word Hero. In a large aircraft hangar, Nathan's waiting with his hands in his pockets when a series of black vans screech up nearby. People are led out of the back of them, wearing bright orange overalls, black hoods, goggles and headphones. A device is strapped to each of them, with a tube leading up under their hoods.
We have a couple of situations.
Let me guess. Siler.
We've lost communication with the team.
I told you to put a bullet in the back of his head. Right here. The last thing I need is a body count to try and explain.
We're sending a cleanup crew, but there's something else.
One of the prisoners is marched over to him, head hanging low. The hunter removes the hood to reveal that it's Claire. The tube is attached to her nose.
Uncover. Give us a minute.
I hate you.
I know.
You're never gonna get away with this.
Someday you might forgive me, Claire. Someday you might not. Important thing is that you get home. Right now. And forget everything you've just seen.
What makes you think I'm gonna do that? What, are you gonna threaten my family?
Claire, I've given you a free pass. Don't make me change my mind.
Where are you taking them?
Nathan piles her into the back of a car and shuts the door before speaking to the driver. The car pulls away out of the hangar. The other prisoners have been lined up, one behind the other. They're tied together with a rope, while their ankles and wrists are secured with chains. The loading gantry of a military cargo plane is lowered, and the prisoners, woozy from the drugs being pumped into them through their nose tubes, shuffle on board. As the car drives across the airfield, Claire comes round. She kicks the seat in front of her hard, sending the driver's head through a window and knocking him out. The car slows to a halt and she climbs out. Spotting the cargo plane taxiing along, she breaks into a run to catch it up. She reaches the landing gear and begins to climb into the plane.
Flight 195, you are cleared for takeoff.
Nathan walks towards the entrance of the hangar to watch as the plane speeds along the runway, then soars into the air. He hangs his head. On board the aircraft, the prisoners are lined up along each side of the hold, secured to the seats at the wrists and ankles. An armed guard patrols up and down, but doesn't notice as Claire emerges from a hatch. Keeping an eye on the guards, she sneaks over to a crate and ducks behind it. She scurries over to another, narrowly missing being spotted by a guard. Then she goes to the first prisoner and removes their hood. She pulls out the nose tube, then replaces the hood. She moves on to the next prisoner.
Peter's me. Come on. Wake up. Come on, we need to get everyone out of here. We need to break the shackles.
I don't have strength anymore. Suresh. Take your stuff off.
Peter struggles to touch Mahinda's hand, but when he does, a spark lights up and power flows through Mahinda and into him. He breaks free of the metal shackles.
Wake everybody up!
Claire hurriedly removes the hoods and tubes from all of the heroes while Peter gets to his feet. A guard turns to spot him, but Peter smashes his head against the wall of the hold. Claire finds Matt. Then a pneumatic injection rolls across the floor to her.
Go to the cockpit!
Claire glances up at the figures in the cockpit, then takes a moment before joining them. She climbs quietly up to the first crew member and rams the injection into him before hitting him hard to the floor. To one of the pilots,
we're gonna make an unexpected landing.
Claire?
Peter hurls one attacking guard to the other end of the hold, then goes to free Hero. A second guard hits him hard at the waist, and Peter tumbles to the floor, but not before he's touched Tracy's hand. They exchange blows, and Peter ends up on his hands and knees, resting a palm against the hold wall. It freezes swiftly, and Peter scrambles to get away as it just as quickly shatters. Peter's holding tightly onto a beam as everything is sucked from the hold of the plane.
Mayday! 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 Dead mother 3 pod going down! Bearing 2, 4, 5, and 9, 8 on Walnut Ridge Cortex! We have lost pressure! Mayday! Mayday!
The aircraft hurtles downwards and Claire holds tightly onto the cockpit. Heroes screaming, and one of the heroes, still in hood, glasses and headphones, is sucked from the plane, shackled to their seat. Paperwork flies around the hold, and the strapping that Peter's holding onto begins to slip. He's about to be sucked from the plane when a hand reaches out to save him. It's Mohinder. A dark landscape of trees and grass speeds underneath them as they near the ground. Mohinder seems to be losing his grip on Peter's hand. To be continued.